Support for this program is provided by Fresenius Kabi. This program is not an accredited continuing education program, and the speaker is being compensated by Fresenius Kabi. The views and opinions expressed by the experts during this discussion are solely those of the individual healthcare professionals based on their experiences in the medical field and are not intended to reflect the views or opinions of Fresenius Kabi or to provide clinical practice recommendations. Important safety information for SmofLipid and IntraLipid will be available at the end of each segment.
I know to bring all this together, I think it would be great if we could kind of apply all this information. And I was going to ask Carol, I think you have a case that you were going to share with us. And if you want to kind of take everybody through the most pertinent points of the case first.
I would be happy to do that. I would like to make a quick comment to what Sure. Dr. Miles was just talking about. I also have a preference for giving lipid daily, if possible. So I know much of the lipid sparing or lipid lowering therapy we did, much of that was also to lower the omega-6 content that our patients were getting. And so they're very happy with this. All right, well, I have a patient that I think is very interesting. She's a young female, 35 years old. She has a dysmotility disorder. So she has difficulty absorbing adequate nutrients on a daily basis and has a gastrostomy tube for decompression. She is 62 inches tall. She's 49 kilograms, and she receives parenteral nutrition 7 days a week, 65 grams of amino acids, 250 grams of dextrose. And for her, she receives about 340 mils of intravenous lipid emulsion, multi-oil, 4 times a week. She receives this in about 2000 milliliters of fluid daily. So that provides 1400 calories per day and 65 grams of protein. Her goal is to meet most of her nutrition needs from parenteral nutrition. And then if she does have a great day where she can eat, well, then certainly she can eat and increase her oral intake, but it's only as tolerated because this dysmotility disorder makes it very difficult to consume adequate calories.
So kind of going off our previous discussion, I wanted to ask Dr. Miles, you know, given her BMI, what do you think about the calorie provision in this patient? Should we measure her body fat with a DEXA? Should we get a fatty acid profile? And should we give her lipids daily instead of just 4 times a week?
Terrific questions, Gordon. So you hit a nerve when you ask about the BMI. I'm not a fan, and I'll tell you why. I see patients, and not just of South Asian descent, but of European descent, with BMIs well below 18.5 and occasionally below 16, who are perfectly healthy and have adequate body fat. So my nutritional history starts with a weight history. And in this patient, I would like to know whether she's having cyclic menses, because if she is, all is forgiven. That's a pretty good signal the patient is nutritionally replete, okay? If I'm lucky, I'll find an abdominal CT scan in the record. And a good look at the abdominal CT scan can really give you insight on body composition, specifically subcutaneous and visceral fat. And in about a third of those abdominal CT scans, upper thigh fat. So there are a number of things that I think about in terms of a nutritional assessment that don't really take the BMI into consideration. Now, I think you asked a second question about daily fat. Did you ask about that?
Yes.
Okay. So this patient is receiving 340 ml of lipid four times a week. Okay. And I'll do some math in my head, but it's about 1400 ml per week, right? I think it would be the same amount. And the reason is that there's a relationship between lipid infusion rate and triglyceride level. And I think it behooves us to give a balanced diet and try to give it as consistently as we can. And again, I have to qualify this because this is an outpatient on home parenteral nutrition. And my experience with outpatients on HPN is pretty limited. So I would defer to Carol. She may want to add or comment or disagree.
If there was only data available to meet what we both agree is that lipid daily makes sense. There's unfortunately not data to support lipid daily versus giving it two or three or four times a week, but intuitively giving 340 mils one day of lipid and the next day giving zero, just it doesn't seem as like a good idea to me either, but data, can I give you data? Can I get a prospective randomized clinical trial? I cannot. Now, something I'd like to share with you as this patient has been on this parenteral nutrition regimen for some time, we did a fatty acid profile. Did we need to do a fatty acid profile? My answer is no. Dr. Miles, yours would probably be the same since she has been receiving adequate intravenous lipid emulsion for quite some time. But I thought you'd be interested in this data. Her alpha-linolenic acid was 35. The range is 20 to 200. Her linoleic acid was 1,156 with the range of 2,270 to 3,850. So that was low. Meat acid was 3 with the range of 7 to 30. Her triamcetrine ratio was 0.01, and that's okay, low end of the range. So we should be concerned. Her linoleic acid level is low. But let me take you a little further. Her EPA is 193. The range is 14 to 100. Her DHA is 241. The range is 30 to 250. And her arachidonic acid was 299. The range 520 to 1490. So in fact, is she essential fatty acid deficient? I would say based on what she receives and what our labs show, I wouldn't classify her as that. What would you classify her as, Dr. Miles?
I would not say she has essential fatty acid deficiency either. And so the fatty acid profile, as you described it, makes me have some suspicions about what kind of lipid emulsion she was receiving. And I'll bet you'll have something to say about that.
Well, she in fact did receive a multi-oil intravenous lipid emulsion after years on 100% soybean oil lipid emulsion. I actually speak to her on a regular basis. So I think that is sort of the, for us in the outpatient world, if we're able to monitor key components of a person's home parenteral nutrition regimen and monitoring parameters, and if their quality of life is good, that sort of does it for us. However, I'm going to look at changing her to daily lipid emulsion.
That's a fascinating case. Appreciate you sharing that with us, Carol. I'd like to kind of wrap up our discussion today, and I was going to first start with Dr. Miles and see if you could share with us maybe a few take-home points that you would like people to remember about our discussions.
Yes. So several things come to mind. I think what we've reviewed just what essential fatty acid deficiency is, what are the essential fatty acids, the importance of providing essential fatty acids, and the differences among the vehicles for doing that, different kinds of lipid emulsions. We've talked about whether or not to give lipid daily. We've talked about the desirability of a balanced diet, I think at least indirectly. And we've touched on the fatty acid profile and how to look at it and how to analyze it. I think that might sum it up from my standpoint.
Carol, how about you? What would you like people to take away from our discussion today?
I think the things that I would like to remind everybody is the new lipid emulsions are an exciting change to the way we manage home parenteral and, I'm sure, inpatient parenteral nutrition patients, but they are different. So the composition is different, and clinicians, dietitians, nurses, pharmacists, physicians, clinicians need to understand the difference in the composition and how to prescribe these so that they provide not only adequate essential fatty acids, but we get to provide lipid as an energy source, which I think is really what we were doing in the early days until we realized, A, we might have been giving people too many calories, and B, we didn't have a very good choice in lipid emulsions, and now we do. So those are the things I would probably like to take away.
Well, I'd just like to thank you both for our discussion today. I thought you both provided some really great information and clinical insight into maybe some of the things that people need to consider when they're using different lipid emulsions that are available on the U.S. market today. So again, thank you for your contributions, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
SMOF Lipid, Lipid Injectable Emulsion, USP, for intravenous use, important safety information. SMOF Lipid is indicated in adult and pediatric patients as a source of calories and essential fatty acids for parenteral nutrition, PN, when oral or enteral nutrition is not possible, insufficient, or contraindicated. Should not be received by patients who have a known allergy to fish, egg, soybean, or peanut, or any of the ingredients, or abnormally high levels of lipid triglycerides in the blood. May cause serious side effects, including death, with rapid infusion of intravenous lipid emulsion in neonates and infants, risk of parenteral nutrition-associated liver disease, allergic reactions, fat overload syndrome, refeeding syndrome, and elevated triglyceride levels. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. For a more complete overview of the full risk profile, visit www.fresenius-kabi-nutrition.com/SMOFLipid-consumer-ISI. Intended for U.S. audiences only. Intralipid, lipid injectable emulsion for intravenous use, important safety information. Intralipid is indicated as a source of calories and essential fatty acids for adult and pediatric patients requiring parenteral nutrition, PN, and as a source of essential fatty acids for prevention of essential fatty acid deficiency, or EFAD. Should not be received by patients who have a known allergy to egg, soybean, or peanut, or any of the ingredients, or abnormally high levels of lipid triglycerides in the blood. May cause serious side effects, including death, with rapid infusion of intravenous lipid emulsion in neonates and infants, risk of parenteral nutrition-associated liver disease, allergic reactions, fat overload syndrome, refeeding syndrome, and elevated triglycerides. Contact your healthcare provider to learn more. For a more complete overview of the full risk profile, visit www.fresenius-kabi-nutrition.com/intralipidconsumerisi. Intended for U.S. audiences only.